Thank you, everybody, for tuning in on this episode of Amigas y Primas. I am here with my wonderful co-host and bestie, Monique. Mo, say hi to everybody.
Hello, co-host. That was a surprise.
Oh, yes. I didn't even tell you. I named you my co-host for this.
Now I'm excited.
Mo, why don't you tell our listeners what we are sipping on tonight for a rant?
Okay, so this is new to me. We are sipping on Angry Orchard Hard Cider Rosé. That's a mouthful. made with rare French red flesh apples. I didn't even know if that's a real thing.
Ooh la la.
It tastes like apples, so I'm going to go with it. It's pretty good.
This is my first try at it, and I will say I'm a fan so far.
Mm-hmm. I think this is an easy drink and a perfect podcast drink.
Yes, a good way to get our rant started. So on tonight's rant, we are going to be talking about our white friends. We are not going to name names, but you know who you are out there. So what I wanted to do was start off with Mo telling us a little story of a couple incidents that happened this past year. Mm-hmm. I guess that really got you and I really strongly talking about this subject and stuff. So Mo, why don't you lead us off and tell us a little story?
All right. So the incident that Erica is referring to happened this year where, you know, with the current president of the United States, our political climate has somewhat changed in comparison to the last few years. And with that, I think that's perfectly fine and that can happen. But it really pushed me to get involved with my community and to have a voice for, you know, people in, that I could relate to and in my culture. And, you know, I really wanted to be a role model for my children. And so I started to, you know, encourage them to explore their roots and all of that. And with that, I think I found myself being very vocal on social media, as most people have found themselves to do.
Right.
And it made its way back to me through a mutual friend that I had a friend that, you know, our relationship I could tell was starting to become distant. And this is a friend that I've had for a very long time that I feel I know very well and that knows me very well. And it got back to me that this friend thought that you, Erica, were this influence on me and a negative influence because I was embracing this Mexican side of me and this feminist side of me, and that, you know, that really wasn't who I am.
I just can't help but laugh because I will have to say, sorry for interrupting, Mo, but I will have to say, Mo and I have been friends for a while, and yes, there was many moments in our life where I was a very bad influence to a lot of people, but I would think in these recent years of my adult life, I am not. So that's why I laugh at that. Go ahead, Mo.
Well, and I will say, I don't think you've ever been a bad influence on me.
That's awesome.
I think I've been a good influence on you, but I don't think you've ever been a bad influence on me.
I'll take that. That's fair.
No, but in all seriousness and in all fairness, that statement really bothered me, and I shared it with you the minute that I heard of it. I didn't go back to the source to confront this person because I really didn't know how to handle it. You know, it was a comment that I didn't expect to hear. I knew there was some truth behind it, knowing that our relationship had changed. So when I said it to you, I remember you text me back and you said, oh, I think that this person realized that you're Mexican. And just the way that you said it and the timing, it was that aha moment. I'm like, oh, I kind of think you're right. Like, they realized I'm not this conservative, you know, Caucasian girl that grew up in this very nice neighborhood. Like, that's not actually who I am. That's a part of my upbringing.
Right.
But when you said that, it just dawned on me and I realized, hey, I probably have other friends that feel that way, that don't realize I'm fluent in Spanish and don't realize that I have family all over Mexico. And they just don't know that part of me. And I take responsibility for that because growing up, and as you and I have probably, we know because we know each other, growing up, I grew up with my parents and my grandparents, you know, telling me to speak, you know, a certain way and to associate myself with certain types of people and to basically take on this character, if you will, while I'm at school and while I'm visiting with friends at their homes, because they didn't want me to misrepresent this little brown Mexican girl, right? I mean, really, that's what they were
in
saying,
the neighborhood
right,
you were in,
saying
right?
That. And it's not that there weren't Hispanics or Latinas in the schools I was going to, because there were, but elementary school, there were not many. You know, I went from a private school that was very diverse in Oak Park.
Mm-hmm.
The sad part of that is that the private school closed down because the parents couldn't afford the tuition because we were, you know, we were poor. That's the reality. A lot of the friends that I had there, I remember going to their homes, and they lived in two bedrooms with 5 to 6 people in their families, you know, and, mm-hmm. and we were the same thing. We lived in a duplex in Golden Hills, and, you know, we didn't have a lot. So from there, you know, my parents split up and went to live with my grandparents, who happened to live in a mostly Anglo-Caucasian
right.
neighborhood. And that's really when those talks began. Like, hey, you know, they're going to expect you to almost mess up or to be a certain way. And it's, I don't blame my parents, right? I think they were really just looking out for me and wanted the best for me. So I carried on. I went to elementary school. Most of my friends, right, looked a certain way, and that was totally fine. But I realized I never shared that other part of me for the most part. You know, when they came over, I wasn't offering them rice and beans, and not to be stereotypical,
right.
but, you know, it was like, oh, do you want a hamburger? Do you want a grilled cheese? Like, these are the things that we were doing to show, like, hey, we're American too, just like everybody else. And
right.
we only spoke English when friends were around and things like that.
That
know?
Always goes back to me when I think of stuff like that. It always goes back to in the Selena movie and mm-hmm. when her dad's going off and, like, you know, we have to prove to the Mexicans how Mexican we are
mm-hmm.
and prove
mm-hmm.
to the American how American we are. And, like, damn, it's exhausting to be a fucking Mexican. Like, that's what I think of in those moments, like, there, because I was in the same position, and it was like,
right.
you're in these white-dominated neighborhoods, and we don't want you to be the loud, vocal little Mexican
mm-hmm.
girl that everyone's already going to assume that you are
right.
just by your looks. But then again, we're young.
Right.
We don't understand
we don't.
All
we
that.
Don't. And so just going back to the story about this friend, you know, I realized, like, to take responsibility, I didn't really let her into that side. It's not to say that she didn't know I was Mexican. I mean,
right.
I think for the most part, people understood that, but I never showed her that, right? Like, we were involved in activities and certain things that just didn't show that part of my life. You know, my parents spoke English. I spoke, like, it was almost hidden because I chose to hide it.
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, fast forward 20 years later,
right.
when I hear this comment, and then when I tell you, and then you shared that with me, it was like, wow, I almost felt bad that this person couldn't see that this is just really who I am, and to no fault of anyone, you know, I just chose to hide this part for a long time because of where I was growing up in the neighborhood that I lived in. And then for them to blame you was really difficult too. I mean, as you and I both know, like, you were going through the same thing. So
right.
I'm like, it's not like you were always this activist in this
exactly.
community. And,
right.
you know, no, that wasn't you growing up. You and I, if anything, we bonded because of that. We knew, hey, we can be a certain way at home and in the comfort of our own home.
Right.
When we're out with our friends in high school or doing certain things, like, And I think that can be said for most high school kids, right? Like, you give in to peer pressure a lot, and you're going to act a certain way and do certain things to fit in.
Right. I mean, let's also, like, bring up the fact of how we even met going to our school.
Right.
Like, I mean, I was new to the school, didn't know anybody. I was new to that neighborhood, and everybody kept coming up to me and asking me if I was Monique's cousin. And I was like, who's this Monique girl? Like, I don't even know who she is. And it was so weird. And then I remember us meeting, I think it was at a party.
I think so too.
Where we
yes.
actually met. And when we found out each other's name, we're like, holy shit, like, you're the one everyone thinks my cousin. And then meeting
right.
you, I was like, oh, because we're
brown.
Little brown girls
yeah.
who have curly hair.
Right.
Okay. Right. And then it was
and freckles. Oh. Like, we're not like the typical, yes. Right? And looking back, that was my first thought too. It was like, oh, this is why people think we're related. There's no other reason. They've never seen us together. They've never seen our families together. But they just think we have similar features. So therefore,
right.
We must be
related. And we connected. But you're right, though. We connected on that. And we realized that we were the girls that lived in the white neighborhood. And yes, because our friend had brought this up to me recently, yes, our high school was diverse. Mm-hmm. But what I had explained to him was it was diverse because of the busing kids, right? We went to a school that had so many busing kids. Mm-hmm. So when I explained it to him, I said, I looked like the busing kids. I was raised with the busing kids, but I no longer lived in the neighborhood with the busing kids. I lived with the white kids.
Right.
And that made the busing kids treat me different.
Right.
I was no longer a part of what they saw as a Mexican girl.
Right. And I think for me, not to blame it on my choice of activities, but I was a cheerleader. I know everyone's surprised right now. But that also had its own stereotypes, right? Like, there weren't a lot of Hispanic girls at our school cheerleading. I mean,
they couldn't. Bussins couldn't get involved with a lot of school activities or neighborhood things, too, right? It was kids in the neighborhood.
That makes it as well as just the schedule, right?
Right.
So there was some of that where I think people looked at that and had their own thoughts and ideas. And you know, back to all of this. Anyways, we're young, and we don't always know how to behave, and we don't always know how to be vocal, and we don't always know how to stand up for what is right, because we're in this sensitive stage of navigating our emotions and our feelings, and, you know, we have so many important things going on at that time, like the homecoming dance, and you know,
right. So important.
Stupid stuff, but back then it's so important.
It's our life.
And with that, I mean, I feel like I had a lot of friends. I feel like I had a diverse group of friends. But I also feel like I never got too close to anybody for a certain reason. I mean, you are one of the exceptions. And then, right. You know, I have a handful of other people. But it was because of that. I never actually felt like myself 100%. You know, I felt like I almost don't know how to be because, and you've talked about this, I wasn't quite Mexican enough for some of the Mexican girls, not all.
Yes, right.
For some, and I experienced that in middle school, you know. And then there were just these different groups, you know. You have like your band friends or your friends that are in the AP classes with you, your cheerleading friends. You know, there's all these different groups, the athletes, however you want to label them. And so I always felt like I was kind of placed into different categories depending on the situation, and mm-hmm. that was exhausting, right? Like,
right.
I just always had to be on, is the way that I say it, and I never really got the time to be off.
And I think a lot of that came from our families too, because like we're seeing the influence of our families talking to us and mm-hmm. telling us those kind of things too. So we were in a situation where we were trying to mold into whatever situation we're in or whatever people we were around. And yeah, it's still exhausting. I don't care as much anymore, but it's different now.
And that goes back to like the story, you know, and I think about it now, and it's not the only thing that's changed from that kid back then to who I am now is that I'm actually comfortable with who I am.
Yes.
And I don't work as hard to fit in. Because
right.
Like you said, you kind of don't have time.
I don't have time for all that.
I don't either. So I think when I started being vocal and just expressing some of my opinions, it was a surprise, I feel like, to a lot of people. And not only that, but I mean, if you want to get into politics, right? I grew up with a father who is Hispanic, but is also Republican. You know,
right?
He's very conservative. And a lot of that comes from the financial reason to why he's so conservative. He feels like he works hard for, you know, a lot of his money and he wants to protect it and all this stuff. Okay, great. But that was really my only political influence, you know, growing up.
Right.
And so that even caused me to be a little conservative, even though I never really felt that way, right? It was just that was the only influence I had. And I don't want to get into parties because honestly,
that's a whole nother rant.
Yeah, and I don't even identify with parties. Like, I just believe in doing what you think is best for whatever cause. If it's yourself, then fine. You fight for whatever's best for yourself. I'm just not that way. I feel like being a voice for people that don't necessarily have a voice or don't have a platform or don't know how to use it, that's, I just feel like, my calling, for right. lack of a better term. And so that's where all of this started, you know, coming from. It was like, no, I'm going to be loud and proud of who I am. But more importantly than that, I'm going to serve others and what they need, right? And so if I have a friend that wants me to fight for them for a certain reason and I back that, I'm happy to be right, the face of that and help them. Exactly. And so I think that just caused a lot of confusion, I think, for some of the friends that didn't know that about me or didn't see that about me. So that kind of goes back to this whole story. And I still talk to that person. I have no hard feelings with that person. I do wish we could have a sit down because I personally feel part of her struggles that she doesn't get to be herself. Right. And that's where some of this also comes from, right? And so that's, again, a whole
right. And you're saying, too, like, the fact of, like, you wish that you were able to have a conversation with her. Why do you think you can't have a conversation with her?
It's not that I think that I can't. I think it's that I choose not to for many reasons. One being I am so busy. Yeah. And I know that sounds awful, but no, like, I will be there for this person if right. they need anything, but I am so busy and I don't really have time to, like, invest in their views or their perceptions. I can only continue doing what I think is right. With that being said, I also choose not to because it's just easier. Like, let's be honest, right? Yeah. I'm not big on confrontation. Anyone that knows me knows that, unless it's with my family, and that's a different story.
Yeah, that's a whole nother story.
But I'm not, and not to say that confrontation's always bad, because it's not. I think
it can have good results.
Absolutely. But I'm just not ready to go there. I think also because this person didn't say it to me, right? It came from, like, a mutual uh-huh. friend. And so I can tell that our relationship is different.
Right.
I'm pretty certain it's because of our political views. But until that person actually voices that to me, I don't feel like I have to address it until then.
Right.
And I'm not, it's not that I'm shying away from it. It's just that I'll respond when I need to. And right now I don't feel that I need to. And I don't want to just react. Like, I didn't want to hear something and then call them and be like, oh, you said this about me,
right.
and I want to set the record straight. No, that's really not my style. I'm not one to just react after hearing something. So I'll continue on, you know. I know that friendships change, and they, you know, they always kind of evolve, if you will. And I haven't exactly lost this person as a friend.
Especially with an old friend.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
You've known
and I
forever.
This isn't, like, a big deal. If you look at everything going on in the world, like, this is still not a big deal.
Right.
It was just one of those moments where I woke up a little bit. I'm like, oh, people might actually not know this about me. And why is that? You know, and I did a little self-reflection.
Reflection on it, yeah.
Why would they just blame Erica? Like, you know, what,
right.
All of that kind of threw me off. And so it was just one of those moments where I realized, like, oh, yeah, I've kind of been a certain way around certain people for many reasons. And as a result, I think some people are very caught off guard by my stance and how I feel. And not only that, but if you want to bring religion into it, you know, I was born and raised Catholic, and Catholicism has certain views. And I think even if those are my friends who aren't Hispanic, but were brought up in Catholicism,
in those conservative
right.
Catholic views,
also
right.
assume I'm going to carry on, right? Like, I had my children baptized. Like, I think they just think she's not going to believe in that, or she will believe in this.
Yes.
But that's not me. Like, to me, I think religion and spirituality can be beautiful things. I obviously chose to baptize my kids, so I see some value in it. With that being said, I don't think there's one religion out there that's perfect. And I think there are positives and negatives to all religions. You know, I've researched, I've explored, I've been to many different types of churches and temples, and I know there are some good things you can take from all of them. But there are also some things that I just personally don't agree with. And I don't think that makes me a bad person. I don't think it should make me a bad person. But I don't think I've ever voiced that, right? Like, I think it's just always been something that's been kind of kept in the background.
But I think so too, Mo, like when you're talking about voicing things too, mm-hmm. it's especially back then, like when we were in school, we did not have platforms like these kids have now.
Very true.
We did not have social media. I mean, I never paid attention to anything political, anything headline news when we were young. Like, you did. I for sure did not, yeah. like, at all until this new political movement has happened mm-hmm. more recently that I really started paying attention, getting angry about things, and then taking it a step further to do stuff about it. Yeah. You know, so with a situation that had happened recently with, again, one of our very good mutual friends, mm-hmm. We were talking about my podcast, and he had said that naming my podcast Soy Chingona was inviting only Latinos to listen to my podcast, and he's Caucasian, so he felt
I didn't know that part of the story.
I didn't think I told you that part. Yeah, when we had talked about it, he had said that he thought I was just, and he tried to come, because he's a very good friend of mine, he was saying, you know, I'm just looking out for what you're trying to create with your podcast and what you're trying to, the people you're trying to reach, but you're really like exiting out white people by naming it Soy Chingona. So I told him, I was like, well, Chingona means badass. It doesn't have a color. I'm talking about women that are badasses. And I said, yes, I will be having other people of other cultures on my show. Mm-hmm. But right now, my movement is for the underdog. Mm-hmm. And right now, Latinos are the underdog mm-hmm. in this particular mm-hmm. setting.
Which, by the way, I'm European and Native American, so there you go. And 6% African.
Well,
so,
you know, even when I think about, like, you know.
No, it's in all, it's right. Seriously, yeah.
But it's, like, even when you think about, okay, like, the, you know, we're both involved in MANA, right? Mm-hmm. MANA the San Diego. Yes. And when that first
Shout
started.
Out to MANA.
Right? In the beginning of MANA, it was the Mexican American National Association for Women. Mm-hmm. Over the years, that had to change. Mm-hmm. Now MANA, it represents hermana, which mm-hmm. is sister. More of a sisterhood mm-hmm. for Latinas. Mm-hmm. And now we have different types of people and different backgrounds that are involved in MANA, right? But it was that growth. And men.
Yeah.
It was that growth of, okay, let's not just make it, you know, for just Mexicans. This is so much bigger than that. But that's what I feel with my podcast. I want it to be so much bigger than what this is now, but this is what my focus is. This is my passion. So,
and it will evolve if you choose for it to do so. I mean, I also think you're very in touch with your culture right now at this moment. That's not to say that it'll stay that way or that will grow or it will lessen. We don't know, right? But so at this moment, I think where you're at in your life, it makes, to me, perfect sense that you would give your podcast a title like Soy Chingona.
Like that.
And also, I would think your goal is not to exclude anyone, right? But we live in this world where, I'm sorry, you cannot please everyone. And it is it is exhausting to try to please everyone. So I don't know that should be anybody's objective. That's my point on that. And my second point is, I listen to a variety of podcasts. I listen for the content, right? It could have the best name, and if I listen and it's just not something I can relate to, I don't listen to it.
Then you don't, right.
It could have an awful name. But if there's content there and I can learn something from it, then I'll keep listening. So for me personally, I don't really look at names. I do think, and from our friend's perspective, like, I do get what he's saying. Totally, right? Like, there are certain people that will just hear that and go, oh, that's not for me. And so they won't give it a try. And that's not your intention. And I get that. But I also say, who are these people that are so turned off by a name without at least listening? I mean, you just don't know.
Right.
With the platforms that there are today, you just don't know what's going to happen in a podcast. The podcast could have a name about music and then you listen and it's about sports. I mean, right.
On top of that, in this conversation, I asked them, have you listened to any of the podcasts?
Ooh, dun, dun, dun.
And he said no. So my first reaction was, why are you even giving me this opinion when you haven't even listened to it first? Then we go on in the conversation, and he said that I needed to understand where he was coming from because he had known me for a long time, and we had went to school together. Right. And
he does know you well.
Right. I mean, he was in our wedding. He was in your wedding. Right. Like, you know, we're all a family, right?
We are. And he's and I part love of that him family. Dearly. Absolutely.
He's one of my best guy friends that I have. Hands down, right?
I totally agree.
Hands down. Mm-hmm. But in this moment, he had said, well, you need to understand that I've known you as a whitewashed person, whitewashed Mexican, and all of a sudden you became Mexican out of nowhere.
Okay.
My first reaction, I was completely crushed by that because of everything that I'm working towards and everything that I'm going through. Mm-hmm. Understanding at the same time, this is my white male friend who doesn't understand what he just said is really crushed me, but I don't sit there and think he's a racist bad person for saying something like that.
And I really don't think he meant it that way at all. He's not a malicious person in any kind of way. So I can almost say that with confidence, even though he wasn't there.
Right. And even knowing his background and his family, he's raised by very liberal hippie parents that I absolutely adore.
But I do understand his perception. Do you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Now I do. Going back and looking at the conversation. Yes, because this is a conversation you and I have had, especially this year of this. So I absolutely knew the thing that I needed to, in those moments, remind him is that, yes, you may have seen me that way, but you don't understand why you would even label me as whitewashed.
Right.
And I had said to him, you need to know and maybe remember because you have forgotten, I was not raised in San Carlos, La Mesa, Alley Gardens, Del Cerro. I'm not from there.
You're not from there, but it is a part.
It's a huge part
of who we are. And on top of that, I really think his comment to you should have been, what made you get so in touch with your Mexican culture all of a sudden? Because I feel like that came out of nowhere, right? But in hindsight, he probably meant to say it that way, and it did not come out that way. And we've all been there. We've all said things that we had it all worked out in our heads, and then we open up our mouths, and it didn't come out exactly the way we'd planned, right? So I think there is some of that. But I also think, I will say I was raised in Alley Gardens, even though I grew up in Golden Hills and in Oak Park, and I have grandparents that still live, you know, off of Market and Home Avenue, and that was very much a part of my life. But I think I spent so many more years in AG that's really a big factor in who I am. And I think your community always is, because it's unavoidable. You know, it's the environment.
Right. Especially when you're young, you have no choice of where you're growing up too. I was just at that point, I was upset, and I'm on defense mode too. Yeah. So that is, I mean, I'll have to say, like, shit, my ghetto girl, like, Del Sol, like, came out, and I was like, hold up. You need to be reminded where I'm from. Yeah. Let me tell you where I was raised. And he kind of was taken back, and we went back and forth a little bit in the conversation. And I will say that after all this, about a week goes by, and just a couple days ago, he winds up calling me. And we had this great conversation.
Mm-hmm. I was not surprised, because he obviously cares.
Oh my God. We love each other so much. And that was something, like, it was right off the bat. And he said, when he called, he said, look, we had a conversation and I said things and I wasn't able to articulate the things that I was trying to get across to you. And I may have come across Hey, chingonas. Thank you for listening to part one of Amigas y Primas. Tune in next week for the conclusion of White Friends.